The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to, first of all, if you received this link in your phone, if you received the text, I thank God for you, appreciate you, know that we're praying for you. I just wanted to be able to speak words of encouragement into you through these radio programs and through these shows, and just to encourage the brothers and help to move us forward and help us grow spiritually as men of God, as husbands, fathers, and sons, that we could continue to just to talk about some of these things. Again, I'm sending out pre-recorded links to texting them out to get to reach out to the brothers out here that I know to just encourage you along the way. Also, they'll be posted on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and also on the Twitter page at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. Amen. First, let me encourage every brother out there, continue in prayer. You know, continue to pray for one another. Pray for your circle of influence, the brothers around you, your brothers in your ministry, the men in your family, the men that you work with, you know, wherever they are. You know, continue to keep men in prayer. And as always here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I just want to encourage you to reach out, to evangelize, to share the gospel with someone, share the gospel with an unbeliever, that you be able to minister to them and help fulfill the Great Commission. And finally, but also, I just want to encourage the men out there, if I sent you this. Most of you brothers are part of ministries, part of churches. I encourage you to call your pastor. Check in on him, see how he's doing. You know, sometimes we forget because pastors do stuff and they're preaching on Sunday. but they're just men. They're husbands, they're fathers, they're sons. Just check the brother, check his oil, see if you can if he needs something that you can help him with. Amen? Amen. So I'm coping with prayer. Then we're right into our conversation tonight. We're continuing a series of shows, and we're talking about a man is known by what he pursues. We are known by what we pursue or chase after, the way do we focus our energies on. And that's what we're known by. You'd be surprised. We walk around here. We walk and live and assume that we're living lives and we're being examples. But people are watching us. People are seeing us. Our families, our children, our friends, our brothers and sisters in the church. So what are we pursuing? And we're known by what we pursue. Not what we say, but what we actually are pursuing and have a passion about. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I just say thank you right now, Father. Father, I ask, oh God, that you continue, God, to watch over your church. Watch over the men and the women, oh God, who are part of the body of Christ, oh God. Not the invisible church, but the visible church, Lord God. The church universal, oh God. From every continent and every country, oh God, that those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and are living obedient lives to your word, who are being led by the Holy Spirit, God. We pray for the church, oh God, that may be persecuted in different parts of the world, oh God. We're praying for those, oh God, who are struggling in their faith today, oh God. We're praying for the babes in Christ. We're praying for the mature ones in Christ, oh God. That, God, they will see the purpose and plan that you have for their life, Lord God. That God, they will submit themselves unto the Holy Spirit and be moved, oh God, to do and be the church, Lord God. So, Father, right now we're praying, God, for pastors, elders, and deacons, all those who labor behind the scenes, those who are praying, those who are interceding, Lord God. We pray for them, oh God, give them strength, give them perseverance. Let them continue to press in on the things of God that they might lead others, Lord God. Father, I'm praying right now for husbands, fathers, and sons, Lord God. I'm praying husbands, oh God, that they would love their wives as you love the church, oh God. That would be faithful to the call of what it means to husband or wife, oh God. We're praying for fathers today, God, that they may be able to encourage and disciple and mentor their children to grow to be godly men and women, and that they will be able to be to speak into their lives, that they will send, that they will provide for them, they will protect them, oh God, and help them mature spiritually, Lord God. And Father, as sons, God, we just pray, God, that we pray for any son who may be struggling with their relationship with their parents today, oh God. Or someone who may just have lost a parent recently, oh God. Father, we're praying for them that you will comfort them, guide and direct them, oh God, in that role also, Lord God. And Father, we just say thank you right now. I say thank you, God. I thank you for my brothers on the line, oh God. I thank you for all those who may be listening, that will be listening to this program today and may be encouraged to it, oh God. So, Father, we ask, oh God, anything that we say will go out and will be able to encourage someone, strengthen them. Let them be able to just go on just one more day. That we are giving them a word, oh God, that would encourage them. That we let them wake up. That we let them continue to press into the things of God and pursue you. To live lives that are pleasing to you. That they might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, brothers, again, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Christian Men's Talk. Right now, we changed the schedule for 2021. We changed the format. We changed the way we're doing the show. My plan is to do a pre-recorded shows, and then be able to send the links out and by text and on the Facebook page. But on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. We will be live. You can live and you can call in at 646-668-2636. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. You can always listen to this show and all of our previous shows for the last 4 or 5 years and there. And I pray that something we said will encourage you, to continue to encourage you in your Christian growth and your understanding of who you are in Christ, understand who you are as a Christian man, and just hopefully encourage you in this walk. Amen. Also, if you would like to join and be part of one of the discussions, one of the discussion panels, or want to come on and have a conversation and talk about a specific issue that's affecting men, that we may need to be focused on, and just to encourage. Again, we're here to encourage. And as always, myself or any other brother I bring on, we are not standing on a pedestal as if we have glided all together and we have overcome. Every day is a challenge. Every day we need the Word of God. Every day we need the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct us, because we never know what the enemy may try and do to try and kill us, destroy us, and cut off our bloodline. Amen? Because for some of us, we are the Abrahams of our family. There was no Christ before us, and moving forward from here, what will be our legacy in our bloodline? That everyone after us would know Jesus Christ. It could start with you, brother. We have to consider that. Amen. Amen. Deacon Anthony, can you hear me, brother? Are you there?
Praise the Lord, D. Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, bro. How was your day today?
Amen. It was blessed.
All right. That's good to hear. Amen. Well, gentlemen, tonight we're going to start our conversation. Tonight is, again, we're talking about a man is known by what he pursues. And tonight, well, let me give you a quick rundown. The last segment, the last show we did, we talked about godliness. And and hopefully that was enlightening, encouraging someone to start to pursue godliness, understand what godliness is and what it means to pursue godliness. But tonight we're going to talk about righteousness, because godliness and righteousness is, I think, is one of the things that we have to look at as Christian men. Are we pursuing these things? Because remember, our salvation, Christ did not die on the cross for us to just say we're saved and to sit. We are called to pursue. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission. We're called to do a lot of things, and to do those things, lining up with God's will, we have to pursue the principles of what the Bible is teaching us. I'm going to start off with just, you know, I was as preparing for this show, I was doing a little research in Scripture, and the book of Romans stood out to me. It stood out because in the book of Romans, the word righteousness is used over 30 times, you know, and again, this is about us and about us as you and I, about studying the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and applying the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, through our prayer time, and then through our study and having other men around us that we can be able to, to reason together, to bounce these understandings and how we read it and how we understand it, and to help us apply. So tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about righteousness. So we got to begin with defining righteousness. You know, there's a lot of definitions for it, but I'm going to start with living righteous is living in a way that is pleasing to God and that He can use, He can fulfill the purpose He created us for. I'm going to use that as our simple definition, because I was reading a lot of things as we prepared, but I just want to keep it simple. Living in a way that pleases God and fulfills His purpose on why He created us, why we were drawn into salvation, because we all have a purpose. God didn't just create us. God didn't just draw you to salvation. It wasn't a happenstance. There's a purpose for our lives, and now that we're in Christ, God has a purpose and a plan for us. But now we have to live a life that is pleasing to Him, that we may be obedient and knowing the will of God. So that's I'm going to use that as our simple, as our basic definition for righteousness as we continue to move forward in this conversation. Let me go to Proverbs 15 and 19 real quick, and then I'm coming to you, Brother Deacon. And Proverbs 15 and 9 says, "The God detests the way of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue righteousness." So again, this is what God loves, those who pursue righteousness. And as men of God, if we're pursuing, you know, it's that old saying, I know some brothers out in the street, if you see a brother running, start running. Don't look, you know, because something happened, he saw it, So you start moving. So for each of us, if we start to pursue, how many other people will follow us in the pursuit of righteousness? So with our families, your brother in Christ, your children, your wife, if we start to pursue this thing with a passion, how many others will just start to follow us? Amen. Brother Deacon Anthony, what do you say about righteousness and the importance of pursuing it?
Amen, amen, amen. You know, that's something, you know, it kind of piggybacks and tags into what we were talking about, last week. And, you know, one of the things about righteousness is wanting to be right before God. And the thing is that it's an action that you have to be saved for. Anybody who tries to practice righteousness without Jesus Christ or without the Holy Spirit is pretty much not righteous before God. The first thing is that there's nothing in the flesh that pleases God. So the first thing we have is faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things Jesus said, and, you know, I looked at it, and it talks about Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So, you know, in a sense where people practice righteousness, are they practicing it by the law and want to hold that to be a proven case before God to say that I am worthy of your acceptance of what I present to you as righteousness? But the thing is that if, like Paul was saying, and you hit the nail on your head, you actually were talking about, you were, you know, studying in Romans. And I know in Romans that chapter 8, it talks about righteousness. It talks about, you know, what that is. And it's two things here that it talks about. Now, the thing is that in Romans chapter 8, it talks about the flesh and the spirit, and there's a divide there. So if you're following the things that the flesh, you'll do the things of the flesh. And a lot of us are, you know, out here, and a lot of people, and even transparent in my own life, try to practice righteousness in our own flesh. And it's not the flesh that God died for. He died for the whole man, but it's not the flesh that is being modeled as far as a symbol of righteousness, because nothing in the flesh, there is no good deed that really dwells in the flesh. So we have to really put those things to death that besets us. Paul said it best when he says he mortifies his body. Basically, he, you know, his members is what he beats up on. He understands the gospel of grace. He understands grace. He understands the gospel. So he doesn't want to put the gospel to an open shame by saying that he received it, and then there's no manifestation in it in our lives to be able to be not only pleasing to God, but also to minister to other people on how good God is. And when we practice unrighteous things, for us, we feel ashamed. And it's a thing where it's like, what are other people looking at us as if we're modeling something that isn't righteous? And what kind of ministry is that for someone else? A lot of people out there, and, you know, I don't like to put a stamp on religion and say Christianity, because it's such a big umbrella now. Everybody walking around saying they, you know, Christians, in other words. And they're only modeling the things that are put on television. They don't understand the gospel, but to them that looks righteous. You know, the Kanye West and all these other people that on TV, and they model what they do, and they say, well, I know I'm righteous now based on that model. He's righteous, and he's, you know, done so many things and said so many things, and, you know, well, I look at that as a model of righteousness. And then once they actually study the word of God and understand God's grace, and understand God's mercy and what he's done for us, they'll actually look at it different. And then that's when they may walk away from faith, because they say, okay, that's something I can't practice, or I can't get right. And see, as soon as they come to a Bible-believing faith or a Bible-believing church, and have a church home, and when we start to expose those things, one or two things will happen. Either they'll walk away from the faith or they'll come to it, the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you walk away, it might not be a good benefit. But I know you've heard before, because I know I've heard a lot of criticism before. You know, a lot of people may say, don't judge me. Well, I'm only looking at the fruit and what the fruit bears. I mean, you know, if you say that you are what they say Christian, then you should model the fruits of the Spirit. You should have love. You should have peace. You should have joy. Those things should be available in the soul of you because you are a believer. Except the thing is that it's the exact opposite. People don't want to see you model those things as righteousness. They want to see you do the commandments and the law. And as long as you obey the laws, they feel like, okay, you're righteous. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And because he fulfilled the law, like it says in Romans, you know, that Jesus Christ is the righteousness of the law, you know, might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So I think we have to understand, first of all, what righteousness is and what God accepts as being righteous. We shouldn't assume that righteousness means I'm doing everything that I think is right, or I'm saying everything that's right, or I'm doing a good deed, or I go to church every day, or I pay my tithes, or I don't do this and I don't do that. And then now you've set up a group of laws that aren't even in the Word of God. And as long as you set those boundaries and standards for yourself, you'll say based on your own judgment, I'm a good person based on what I do and don't do. And see, now that's when it's not a faith thing. It's works that you want to present as salvation. What do you think about that, Dee?
Amen, bro. Amen. Thank you. You're right on that thing. And that works is, let me start here. I got so much. Let's start with, we all have heard previously about churches who tell people there's a bunch of things they don't do because they're saved. Smoking, drinking, the movies, the whatever. It is a whole lot less. It depends how holy you want. It depends if you holiness, apostolic, Pentecostal. There could be a whole list of things. And like you said in Matthew chapter 5, unless your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees. Remember, Jesus picked on them so much because they were superficial. He called them, I believe he called them whitewashed tombs. They were dead inside, you know, and that's what we struggle with. And that's what I think we build up our own self-righteousness. We start having lists and following rules and don't do this and don't do that, you know. And you touched on it. I agree with what you were saying. Christ didn't die for the flesh. He died for our spirit. He died to save our soul from eternal damnation and the wrath of God. So now, how are we living out that? First, we have to understand that, and then how are we living out that? And then, as men of God, how are we coming to apply the word and what the word guides and directs us to do? Also, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. But again, it goes back to our foundation, and we talked about this previously. The foundation of our faith is our launching point. So if we understand why Christ died, he didn't die for you to behave. I think we mentioned this before. He died for us to be obedient to him and accept his lordship. And I think some of the things we have to understand that if we are Christians, Jesus Christ is Lord. We call him Lord. And that's a whole teaching right there. That if you don't understand what Jesus Christ being the Lord of your life means, I encourage you to go back. I encourage you to go reach out to your pastor and understand the Lordship of Christ. Because it's not, he's your Savior. You were bought with, the scripture says we were bought with a price. And that price was his shed blood. So now, we are owned by him, and now the Word of God and the Holy Spirit guides and directs what we are told, and there's no pushback and there's no compromise to that. And I want to encourage every brother out there, This is who we are as Christian men, and this is where we get to pursue righteousness. We're pursuing the will of God. We're seeking to recognize who God truly is, who Jesus Christ is in our lives. And when we come up with these rules, which, you know, it's so much. I don't want to touch on it all, but it's about self-righteousness. Because, again, we Amen. Want to look righteous, so we come up with rules of self-righteous. Or you're taught rules that you if you do this, this, and this, we'll see you as righteous. That's man. Mm-hmm. Because I can play the weak. All right, brothers, let's be honest. We can play the role of anything, especially for 2 hours on a Sunday, because I got the rest of the week to do how I want to do and live how I want to be. But then some of y'all, Deacon Anthony, me and you got to stay close because I'm about to go. Because some of y'all put stuff out there in social media and y'all think nobody's watching. But I'm going to stop right there. Because you claim to be, and then you tell it on yourself. My mother used to say, "Stop! You tell it on yourself. I'll just wait because you're going to tell on yourself because your conscience, you're guilty. But we have that's this is what it is about the body of as man, the body of Christ. How are we living, and are we real? And do we believe the gospel? And do we believe the word of God? And then are we striving to apply the word of God to our life? Because, it's about us being submitted to it. And I think when we talk about righteousness, again, it's about living a godly life, living in obedience, building up the habit of obeying God through his word and through prayer and the guiding of the Holy Spirit in your life. A lot of people call it, hearing the voice of God and knowing God's will. I mean, you could say it a lot of ways, but understand, again, if you read Scripture and see how the church was built, God was speaking to the church and guiding, directing the church. And it's that same spirit that was in the book of Acts, the same spirit that came upon Paul, that's the same spirit that's available to us as men of faith, as Christians. And they obeyed. And they did. You know, if we read about Paul, I think it's in the book of Acts. He wanted to go to one town. The Spirit told him to go a different place. You know, Peter didn't want to go talk to the Roman soldier. He didn't want to minister to the Gentile. But the Spirit, so that same Spirit, if you don't understand that same Spirit is living with us, once you become saved, all I can say is repent. And begin again and start to pursue the things of God, start to pursue righteousness and recognize. And again, it's about the basics. It's about it's like anything else. If you don't get it right, let's back up and do it again. You know, I remember when my kids was in school, they doing some stuff. They didn't get it. Well, let's back up because apparently you missed the basics. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't do, like I said, you can't do multiplication if you don't understand addition. I'm just saying. It's the same thing with the things of God. And brothers, we have to be, first of all, as men, honest of where we are spiritually. Amen. I don't know what day, I don't mean when you first gave your life to Christ or whatever, but look at your life. Look at, like, Deacon Anthony, I'm going to come back to you, but Deacon Anthony said it. From the day you got saved, where are you? Where are the fruit? You know, where are you? Because now you're in the church. See, I got to understand. I want to be clear because Deke, you said about judging me. No Christian should ever say, "Don't judge me." I understand the non-believer saying that, but in the church, we are to hold each other accountable. We are the church. Again, the church. You know, again, we are the church. We are held. We are called to hold each other accountable. We're not judging you, but we're holding you accountable to the things of God. And again, we have old elders and deacons and even folk who've been, you know, who have been committed to the Christian life a while, who are mature in it. We are called to hold each other accountable because there's some things. Because if you don't know, you don't know. But if I can show you in the Word of God, that what you're doing and how you're thinking is not lining up with the will of God, then it's up to you to figure out, oh, I need, and we all hold, we all call, it's accountability. I want to say that. There's no such thing as not judging. I mean, we judging is a bad word, but we are called to hold the accountable. But if you're in the body of Christ, you know that you need the church. You need others around you to help you grow and keep each, and we keep each other. That's what the whole iron sharpens iron. It's become a catchphrase and a cliche, but that iron sharpens iron is about holding each other accountable. The scriptures that talk about the one another, that's the church, one another, looking out for one another, praying for one another. There's a lot of them, but again, that's another word study or that we can do for yourself to help you understand what it means to be part of a church, the one another's. He's talking about the church, not the unsaved folk, but the church, each of us connected one to another, encouraging one another and helping each other grow. But let me back up because we talk about righteousness today. But when we talk about righteousness, I mean, it's so much. But it's, to me, I just think we need to understand. Let me ask you this. What part of do you believe in the pursuit of righteousness does humility and humbling yourself to the things of God? How important is that? Where do you think that is at?
Well, I think that actually lies in what we have, just what you were saying, accountability. It's conviction, you know. I mean, a lot of times when you hear the gospel, when you hear truth, it's a thing where are you convicted to change in your heart? One of the things that I used to tell my wife, I said, you know, how do you know you're saved? I said, well, for one, you can't do something wrong and not be convicted, because a saved person or unsaved or unbeliever doesn't have any limitations to what he does. I mean, he doesn't have a moral code. He doesn't feel any conviction of doing wrong. And I'm not going to say it in a way of that our feelings and emotions won't get involved when we were unbelievers, when we did wrong. But here's the thing. Does it put us in a state of repentance, or does it put us in a state of where we'll figure it out on our own? You know, because if we get into that, what we're really doing is that's a self-righteous thing. And I think if, people, especially unbelievers, before I became a believer, I used to try to do that for people, was present myself as being something that I wasn't. You know, it's a deceptive thing. It's a, you know, you're deceiving your own self in a way. And you hit the nail on the head when you were talking about Jesus Christ being Lord over your life. Is he your leader? Is he the person that you're trying to please? And if it is, then he'll do the work through you if you allow him to. You have to surrender yourself to that. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges for a person, and why we get stuck sometimes in a lot of things, because we have this mindset of, oh, I'll work it out myself, or I'll figure it out myself. And we even take those same reflexes into the church. And now that Jesus Christ is Lord over our life, the first thing we'll say to him is, Lord, I know I messed up, but you know my heart, and I'll work it out. But the thing is that his answer to, I'll just be transparent, to me sometimes is, well, good luck with that. I'll see you when you get back. So it's like he knows that we can't do nothing without him. You know, so we have to understand that part. I can't do anything without him. And if he's Lord over my life, or if he's, you know, he has all these titles. If he's my father, if he's my savior, if he's Lord, if he's God over my life, then him I would have to submit to get things right. And then allow him to minister to me through the Holy Spirit or through people. And I think in the church and ministry, what we have a lot of problems with is people correcting us. We don't want anybody to correct us, even if it comes from the word sometimes, which is scary. Which is why we say, oh, well, you know, don't judge me, don't judge me. But see, if your heart is in the right place, especially for a believer, that should be there. You know, I can't, it's just like any other person. I can't watch you do something and destroy yourself and not say anything. And immediately we get on defense, especially believers, man. We get on defense because we look at it like, well, you know, don't go pointing fingers at me. Why don't you point them back at yourself? You know, I don't feel comfortable. And, you know, that's why a lot of people leave the church sometimes. It's for that reason. God is trying to speak to them through someone else, either through, because, you know, God has to use us as his tangible instruments to be able to speak, to pray, and to accomplish his will. You know, he uses us. So in that fashion of him using us, and I believe God can use anyone, in that fashion of him using us, we're able to speak to that individual or pray to that individual or pray with that individual without, you know, making them feel uncomfortable or something like that. But when you convict it and when you've done something wrong, you should be uncomfortable so that you can get it right, because not only do God notices, but other people can notice. A lot of other people will say, man, you know, your zeal ain't the same. You know, your talk ain't the same. You don't do this. You don't fellowship like you should. When's the last time you read the word? When the last time God actually was able to speak to you through his word? And I think we need to take those things that we do learn and apply them to our life. And the application is to apply in faith. A lot of times we look at that faith without works is dead, meaning like, okay, I got to do a whole bunch of works so God is happy. But that's not the case. The faith without works is dead, meaning that if you do something, it should be done in faith, not in, you know, knowing that you'll receive something, but you do things out of faith. We pray in faith. That's a work of faith. And through prayer, that's allowing God to be glorified and move on the situation. Okay, but if we take that little bit of peace there, we can actually begin to pray for ourselves in the areas that we know we may struggle with, and pray for others and stand in the gap. We want to be able to be intercessory, praying for somebody. I mean, I know when I was out in the world, man, believe me, everybody I know, I'm going to say this because I know whoever may be listening may apply to them as well. Every person I know is not saved. I mean, I pray for them to become saved, and maybe they'll listen to the gospel. However, I can look at a whole lot of people around me, and I mean, and just, I know I have friends that are not right with Jesus Christ right now. So they can't actually do anything which you consider right. They may have a feeling about what to do right, but the thing is, they haven't received Jesus Christ in their heart yet by faith. They haven't received the gospel. So knowing that, what I do is I try to continue to run this race that's set before me. And it's more of an individual thing when it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You really have to identify what he means to us. And if he is Lord of our life, let's make his will a priority. And then we'll be able to practice righteousness, not just in the church on Sunday morning or Tuesday or whenever we fellowship, but we'll be able to live it out the same way year after year, day after day, week after week. And I think that part, for us to understand who Jesus Christ is and what place and what role he is in my life, and is that what I aim for daily? What do you think about that, D?
Yes, sir, you're correct. I mean, what you're saying is very true, and you touched on a lot there, bro. But I pray that every brother out there is just listening to what we're saying, you know. And then now, you evaluate ourselves. Look in the mirror. Where are we? Where are you? You know, where, you know, because every day I do my devotional and prayer time. You know, I want to see where I'm at. And each of us, as men of God, we have to get to that place and understand this is what we got to see where we are and how are we going. What are we pursuing? what choices we're being that's being made. You know, I'm gonna share something. I'm gonna share something real quick as we're talking about the pursuit of righteousness that I wanted to get out to the group. But first, before I do that, Ben and brothers, just to let you know, we have started a monthly Zoom men's meeting, and the next one is going to be on February the 20th, February the 20th at 6 p.m. The best way to get the information, if you go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, it'll be posted there. I invite you, again, to come or text me. Again, if you got this program on your phone through a text, just text me. I'll text you the meeting, the Zoom meeting, the password, and I encourage you to come on and just in fellowship, you know, to gather with some brothers virtually, videoily. You know, it's more of us coming together. I could tell you now, it's not going to necessarily be a Bible study. It may be some discussion, some brothers to share. I mean, we did our first one in January, and it was a blessing. Some brothers were able to share. We're here to pray for some brothers. Some brothers got some things off their chest. You know, I just want to encourage you. If you need the company of men, if you need to get a new circle or be part of something because your church is not gathering or whatever, again, text me back, or you can go to the Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. It'll be posted there, but it's going to be on February the 20th at 6 p.m. Amen? Amen. So let me add this. I want to read something, and Brother Deacon Anthony, I want you to comment out on this after I read. It's going to be a couple of things here, and brothers, this is the time. Hopefully, you're taking notes, or you can play this back and write down some of these scriptures to be able to build your faith on, and be able to that it will minister to you, that the Word of God will speak to you and guide you in direction, understanding what it means to pursue righteousness. Amen. To pursue righteousness means we must recognize that we cannot please God in our own sinful state. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 8. We turn from trying to justify ourselves by our good deeds and instead seek the mercy of God. We desire that he transform our minds, Romans 12, 2, and conform us to the image of his Son, Romans 8, 29. Amen. In the Old Testament, men were declared righteous when they believed God and acted on it. And I want to come back to that because that to me is the foundation. Remember, the Old Testament, the men were declared righteous when they believed God and acted on it. But we have the Holy Spirit. But let me give you some scriptures. I want to give you Genesis 15 and 6. I want to give you Galatians 3 and 6. I want to give you James 2 and 23. Amen? So before Pentecost, people pursued righteousness by keeping God's law, seeking holiness, and walking humbly with God. No one was justified by rule-keeping, but by the faith that enabled them to obey God. And go to Romans 3 and 20 and Galatians 2 and 16. So that there, what we're talking about, the part I'm going to go back to here is understand. They were in the Old Testament, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, before the shed blood of Jesus Christ, before him dying and paying the price for the sins of all mankind, the saints before the cross and all those after the cross, righteousness when they believed God and acted on it. And that's where our faith starts, even for us. But we have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us that will help us to actually achieve that thing. And in the righteousness of Christ, God sees, when he sees us, he sees Christ in his sinless righteousness and the life he lived to be able to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins, past, present, and future. And these are the things that we have to, as men, take to heart. Within a renewed mind, with the understanding of the gospel, and then now live it out in this world, apply it to our lives, in all parts of our lives, from husband, father, son, who we are in community, and are we doing And you know, like we talked, like Brother Anthony said about acts, what I mean works. Our works are because of Christ, not to please him, not to show God, look at me, God. We're doing it out of obedience. And if you want to know what you should be doing for works, again, that's another teaching, because we have to look at what Scripture has called the church to do and be in the culture. Amen? So when we talk about pursuing righteousness, I can't say it any plainer. You were not saved to just sit. You were not saved. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross and shed his blood and take on the wrath of God just so you could learn how to behave. I'm going to stop right there. Deacon Anthony, who you say, sir?
You know, you said a lot. You know, when you was reading, you know, that you can't do anything in the flesh that pleases God, but you please God with faith. That's number one. We have to understand without faith it's impossible to please God, okay? We have to believe in him, okay? And just what it was saying in the Old Testament, you know, it talks about it in Romans. Again, I encourage every brother that's listening to read Romans because he mentions it so many times. Paul talks about righteousness and faith, etc. But when he was talking in Romans chapter 5, he was saying that we're justified by faith, you know, and we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, you know, the thing is that do you believe what God is asking you to do? That's the first thing, you know, to obedience and applying it to your life to be able to walk out and live what is pleasing to God, you know. And there's a whole lot of scriptures that talks about it. Like, I mean, you mentioned one, and one scripture that comes to mind, I believe it's Romans chapter 10. It says how Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes, though. You know, it's about that faith. And I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, in the Old Testament, Abraham, you know, everyone who was called by God, the prophets, they moved by faith. They believed God. So I think in righteousness sometimes what we do is the reason why we develop so many laws and we develop so many moral codes against ourselves is because we'll read the word and it looks impossible to do. You know, like when the word of God says, love ye your enemies, you know, we look at that as an impossible task. Lord, I'm not going, you know, I'm going to love my enemies by not being around them. But see, then where is the gospel being preached? You know, Jesus Christ served people that wanted him crucified. I mean, you know, one minute they were, you know, praising him. The next minute they saying crucify him. And, you know, so it's a thing where we look at righteousness in a different light other than God. And see, when we read the word of God, we can't actually find out and say, well, I'm reading something where it says love your enemies and do good for them. I'll take that scripture by faith and say, well, you know, how am I supposed to do that? I tell you what, why don't I just do it my own way? You see, you got to ask yourself, is God pleased with that? And he's not saying to provoke your enemies. He's not saying do that at all. But what he wants you to know is that forgiveness, he wanted you to model forgiveness. And see, so when we study the word, the first thing we have to do and we have to understand. It's the first thing. Number one, we got to know what God calls as being righteous. You know, we got to know these steps. We have to actually study the word to figure out what it is that's pleasing to God. Because if we don't know, we'll go off our own instincts. And see, a lot of times we take that out of the church sometimes. We feel like, oh, okay, well, I'm just walking by faith and not by sight. And we'll quote that scripture and never pick up the word to really figure out what it is that God would have me to do concerning everything, concerning ministries, concerning, you know, praying for somebody, concerning, you know, what's going on in the building called church, what's going on, and how do I live my life around in my job, and what do I say, what do I do, how do I act around my peers, and what am I supposed to be doing? But see, if you never pick up the word to really figure out what God is saying, of course you can never practice it. You can't practice living holy. You can't practice living righteous if you don't know what God is saying. And, you know, the thing is, you know, for new born again believers, if they don't have somebody or if they don't have anyone teaching them the word, how are they getting it? There's a lot of different avenues that's out there for certain people. And the next thing you know, a babe in Christ grows up to just be a stubborn baby, you know, and they're traveling because they've never been taught the word. So then they get complacent in the activity. And once somebody ministers to them and, you know, the Holy Spirit begins to convict them, either they do one of two things. They walk away from the word or they actually take it and they say, okay, and they become convicted and want to apply it to their life. See, the word of God is not here to harm us. It's to help us live righteous before God and to minister to people. We have to understand that. This thing is not about ourselves, okay? We didn't, like you said, bro, we did not get saved to be dormant, to just sit and wait and get a free ride. But there is some things that God requires us to do and live. He requires us to live a certain way, pleasing to him, so that it can help someone else. And, you know, I'm not speaking like I got it all together, but I know that those things sometimes is a struggle, depending on what strongholds you have. And the thing is that you have to allow God to come in and purge those things out of your life, out of your mind, out of your spirit, out of the very depths of where it came from. And it's a day by day, it's a minute by minute, hour by hour type of thing. You have to constantly have your mindset on the things of God and pleasing God. And if you do that, your mind will be totally centered. And that's what Jesus Christ wants. That's what God wants. He wants all of your mind. He wants you to give everything that you have to him so that he can be glorified. And that's the other thing I wanted to say. A lot of this comes from self-glorification, the good deeds that you were talking about when you were reading. Self-glorification is every time I think about that and, you know, presenting good deeds to God, every time I think about that, I think about judgment. I think about what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 7. You know, there's going to be many that come and say, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. So it's like they did a whole lot of things. You understand, they thought that they were doing the right thing. They thought that they were. They did this. They said, I did this in your name. I did this. And see, that's what we want to take to present to God. Like, Lord, I did this. I don't smoke no more. Like you were saying, I don't drink. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. And then God will say, well, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because see, what you're doing in that sense is you're stealing God's glory. And see, we don't think about that. We can't take the place of Jesus Christ. We can never take the place of Jesus Christ and how he shed his blood. We can't take the place of that. Whenever we try to present good deeds to God, that's what he thinks about. Okay, you're trying to present good deeds over my son. You just can't do it. You can't present that as a sacrifice saying, okay, because I didn't go out here and do this and do that, I sacrificed my livelihood or my free will so that I could feed the homeless or so that I could, you know, pray for somebody or because I can minister to somebody. I sacrificed everything I wanted to do, Lord, for you in your name. And you know, I did this because, you know, I wanted to show you that I was real about it. And God is going to say, depart from me. And I had to really, really sit and think about that because, see, righteousness is not in our hands. It's in Jesus Christ's hands. But when we receive him and he becomes Lord over our life, the good deeds that we do through our body, our fleshly body, or what you would say tangible body,
That's the part that he wants to get to. He wants to get to that root, that part of you that trades your will for his will. But you have to know his will. And a lot of, and you, just what you said, you know, you have to have people in your life to hold you accountable. Iron sharpened if iron, a friend to a friend. But see, you got to make sure you're hitting iron. Because if you ain't hitting iron, you're going to cut somebody. And then next thing you know, they're going to walk away. Because they can't take that. But see, a true believer or a person who is, who has a heart to please God, that as God's speaking to them, to hold them accountable. And that takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of patience, long-suffering. Those fruits of the Spirit are there for that reason. When you become born again, all of those fruits are there, even though you may act a certain way sometimes. But all of those fruits are there because your spirit has been born again. Okay? So we have to understand that. We have to understand that we have to study the Word. We have to know what God is saying and what God calls righteous. And we have to know that when we read the Word, we have to apply it in faith, just like they did in the Old Testament. What do you say about that, sir?
Amen, sir. You know, I agree. I agree. And I pray that right now I pray that the brothers that who heard what you said and what we said tonight would encourage you. I mean, I encourage you to go to the Word. I encourage you to begin today, you know, whenever you hear this, to begin to walk in the Spirit, to live a lifestyle totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to through the Holy Spirit, have the ability to hear God, and then and make a habit of obeying what we hear and what we read. Obedience, obedience, obedience. I can't say it more simply than that. That we have to get to a place as the church, as men, that we're living in obedience to God, the Word of God, that we're pursuing after righteousness, we're pursuing after godliness, and that we're pressing into these things that we can make a difference in the culture. Because, like, you know, everybody is not going to come to Christ, but what about the person that you were supposed to reach, that God wanted to use you? That person will only hear from you because they know your testimony. They know who you are, where you came from, what you used to be. And let me say this. I want to say this because I want to make sure we don't leave anybody out. For those who are fourth, fifth, second generation Christians, that your grandmother and your grandfather were deacons and missionaries and all that, that's fine. But none of that will get you in either, that unless you pursue God. It was a legacy. I thank God some people have a Christian biblical legacy, but it's not transferable. It's not an inheritance. It's you and how God is going to use you. I have to come for the, I think that's something that we forget about, who people, men who were raised in the church and have a legacy, which is good because, you know, you never know what crazy things your family would have did if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. But we are called right now to live out the things of God in this generation. That's what we have to remember. Past generations lived out the things of God through the circumstances they had to deal with, but now we deal with other things, and we have to be the church for right now. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'm here with Deacon Anthony, and we've just been talking about righteousness. We've been talking about, and we touched on a lot of things tonight that would encourage a brother out there to just seek the Word of God. Remember, righteousness, 30 times in the book of Romans. Start, jump right on in, brothers. Jump right on to Romans and start to understand what it means to live a righteous life and what pursuing righteousness means. Amen? Again, I wanted to share, we're having a men's Zoom meeting on February the 20th. You know, text me, let me know. I'll send you the meeting information. And before we go, Deacon Anthony, I'm going to give you the closing and also close us out in prayer. But also, I want to, if you are on Facebook, if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page, we have a reading list for 2021. There's a couple books on there. I encourage you to go and check it out. But right now, tonight, I wanted to add one more. The book is called Root and Fruit. Harmonizing Paul and James on Justification. This book, this one's on the deep end of the pool. So I'm calling out my brothers, pastors, elders, deacons, theologians, high school, you know, whatever. Jailhouse theologians, all y'all. I don't care. But anyway, it's called Root and Fruit, Harmonizing Paul and James on Justification. It's written by Joel Beer. His name is Joel, J-O-E-L, last name Bree, B-E-E-K-E. And he's co-authored by Steve Lawson. Amen. So you guys can get it on Amazon, any bookstore, whatever. But I want to encourage you, that's adding to our reading list at Issues Christian Men's Talk. And always you can go on the Facebook, or if you want me to get, I can send you the other books that are on the 2021 reading list. Because, again, we are called to grow in Christ. We move from babes to maturity. From babes to maturity. A lot of our men's ministries is called boys to men, men to men. You know, but now let's start to live out the vision and the mission of men's ministry. And I pray that something was said tonight that would encourage you, brothers. Again, you, if you get the text, text me. If you want to be part of the discussions, part of the program, let me know. And again, on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., we are live. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., we are live. You can call in at 646-668-2636. And you can also go to www.blocktalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr and get the, you know, listen to this on the website, on the web. And you can share it, send it out, and just send it to, like, one other brother. You don't send a bunch of people. Don't do no one of those text things, but send it to one other brother. Amen? Amen. Deacon Anthony, bro, I appreciate you as always coming on and sharing your insights, your wisdom, and your perspectives, that we would encourage the brothers to press into the things of God. I'm going to give it to you to give you got the last word, and you can close us out in prayer. Amen? Hello? Did I got you there? Uh-oh, I think
yeah,
I
I'm
my
here.
Brother.
I'm here.
Oh.
I'm here. I'm here. I'm
man,
here.
I was looking for, I'm pushing buttons and doing things over here, bro. You scare me.
No.
I said, wait a minute. Did I lose? No. Oh, my goodness.
No.
All right, bro. You close right. us out, bro. And you close up with prayer, man. And like I said, I appreciate you,
hey,
man. And thank you for joining
me. Hey,
you.
I love you, bro.
And, we'll talk soon. And,
Definitely.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank God for you, bro. I love speaking. I love sharing my experience and what God has to say through me, my testimonies. I thank God for this show being available to whoever may be listening, may need a word and to plant a seed, and also be able to reference things that we hear here to be able to use in the future. May not be going through something now, but the enemy is always looking to kill, steal, and destroy. So as long as the enemy is out there, we have to be on the battlefield with prayer, with a word of encouragement, because you never know somebody may be going through. So always thank God for his keeping power and allowing the show to proceed. Let us pray. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you once again, Lord God, for life itself, Father. Thank you, Father, for another opportunity, Father, to give it right. Forgive us for the things that we may take for granted, Lord God. We know that you are the keeper. Father, we know that you are the healer, Lord God. Father, whatever someone may be going through right now, Father, we ask you to move in the midst, Lord God. Father, move in the midst of their hearts, Lord God. Change that one person, Father, who may be struggling right now, Father, with any type of addiction or any type of problems, Lord God. We ask you to step in the midst, Father. Father, you do the healing, Father, where you can be glorified. And, Father, that they can have a testimony, Father, that they will use it, Father, to compel other brothers, Lord God. Strip them of those things, Lord God, that are not pleasing to you, Father. Help them to live righteous. Father, help us day by day, Father. Give us the strength, Father, to do your will. Give us the word, Father, to say to that person, Father, to minister the gospel who hasn't heard it. And let us be bold, Father. Let us be bold and for you, Father, in any public place, any public setting, Father. Father, we shouldn't lose sight, Father, of what you've done for us and what you're continually doing, Lord God.
Father, you are alive and well. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day and for this opportunity until we hear from you in our hearts, Lord God, to lead and guide us into all truth with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. So we thank you for tonight, Father. We ask that you bless, Father, the ministry. Father, bless Issue Christian's Men's Talk, Lord God, and let it spread across the world, Father, so someone can actually hear a word, Father, that may encourage them. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.